So great to be here. Thank you for that introduction, Michael. And also thank you, Pastor Vincent, for inviting us to come and speak and share about the ministry in Taiwan. It was a pleasure to meet with those online. I think it was about a year ago. And great to see your heart for the nations. Just want to start off by introducing our family. For those of you who haven't seen these pictures, they're kind of in succession over the years. You can see on the top left-hand side was our very first picture just before we left for Taiwan. And so we have, at that time, we had three kids, and our youngest, Nathaniel, he was 11 months old, and so I remember carrying him on the baby carrier in the airplane. And so over the years, as the kids have gotten taller and we've gotten shorter, we've added one more, and that's Micah on top. So as you see, we have four kids, Elise, Liana, Nathaniel, and Micah. And they've just been a blessing to us, and along with our ministry as well. They have had opportunities to minister for the Lord. I also want to thank you for just continuing to pray and support us while we're ministering in Taiwan. We do have what's, I can hand it out in the back. It's a prayer magnet. And it can go on your fridge or any place you want. And it can, when you see the picture, you can pray for us. So thank you for that. We put out a newsletter every week. And if you're interested in receiving that, you can just email us. The email's on the prayer, the prayer card there. Today's scripture, as Michael read, is from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. And I won't read it, but it just goes as the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. So the background of this particular scripture is very interesting because in the latter half of Isaiah, Isaiah 59, 60, 61, and 63, there are what are called Spirit Psalms. So this particular verse or this section of scripture is actually a song that was sung. We sang many beautiful songs to God this morning. In the overall background, northern kingdom of Israel had been destroyed by Assyria, and Assyria is now pressing on Jerusalem. So later on, Babylon would conquer Assyria and also take Jerusalem captive to exile. So in this passage, it is actually a passage of hope because it's those coming from the exile that are returning back to their homeland. And if you will, we all know about the Ukrainian-Russian conflict right now, but if you know, will, our hope obviously is that it would cease, it would resolve, and those POWs that have been taken away would come back to their own home countries and they would be able to build their country once again. And so that's the feeling of this particular passage. It's people coming back to their home country with hope to rebuild their land. There are four points that we want to talk about in this particular passage. The first is the calling. The second, the commission. The third, the crown. And the fourth, the cross. Okay, four C's, very easy to remember. So first, the calling. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me. And as you see in the underline there, there are two key verbs that are moving this passage along, this particular point. The first is anointed, which has the same root as Messiah. Okay, and then the second is sent. And all that has to do with calling in our lives. Now, in Christian theology and Christian circles, we often talk about three separate callings. The first is a calling for salvation, okay? And that's becoming a right relationship with God, once again, okay? The second is a calling to discipleship, okay? And that is a calling to follow Christ. And the third is a calling to ministry of some sort, a calling to serve and also to reach the lost. And as I reflected on this passage, and I reflected on my own calling in these different categories, they were quite interesting because I think everybody has a different calling that God has given to them. But in terms of my call to faith, it didn't actually happen until much later on in my life when I was in graduate studies. And that's when I came to faith, because before that, nobody had actually shared the gospel with me before. And so I came to faith later on when I was 25 years old. I got baptized in 1999, so much later on in my life. Okay, and then, because I didn't grow up in the church at all, and no Sunday school and no stories and all that stuff, later on, after about a year and a half of working in industry, I felt a sense of calling to get trained. Okay, and I didn't know what that meant, but I thought that God wanted me to just get trained in a Bible school and serve part-time in the church, you know, as a Sunday school teacher. And so I heeded that calling, and step by step, I just went into seminary and I got trained. It was very scary because everybody before me or anybody in my class had been reading their Bible for 20 years, you know, and me being a new Christian had probably, I wanted to read the Bible once before I got into seminary, which is very scary. So that was my calling into discipleship, training in seminary, and discipleship to follow Jesus. Again, these are all step-by-step callings for me. And then after that, you know what? I found out in seminary, for those of you who are interested in serving God, you know, half of the people have no idea what they want to do. Really. Half of the people in seminary have no clue what they're going to do after seminary. They just went because they obeyed God, okay? They didn't have the grand view of, you know, saving the world or, you know, having a big church or anything like that. They just wanted to obey. And that was me. The other half, they're sent by their denominations and they wanted, you know, they have their kind of paths carved out for them. But that was me. And so later on throughout seminary, I did not actually know what I wanted to do afterwards. It was just step by step. And only in my final year did it dawn on me that, hey, I think that God wants me to serve full-time ministry in the church. And I think she kind of pushed me a little bit to figure that out too. And so that was my call to ministry in the pastorate. And then after that, we served in our home church here in First Alliance for about 8 years. And we had a call, even before that, but we had a call to serve full-time overseas, to Taiwan. And that would be the call to missions. Okay? The missions is not just overseas, by the way. It was also here in Canada as we were serving in First Alliance. But the call to Taiwan was not a call to a people group or a call to do missions, really. Again, it was a call to be with Christ where he wanted us to be. And so it was, why are we in Taiwan is really to be with Christ there in Taiwan and to make him known there. And when we got to Taiwan, this is what we saw. For those of you who were in the prayer meeting, we may have shown some of these slides, but this is what we saw in Taiwan as we went there. Idol parades all the time, because there are lots of temples all around. Temples that are much bigger than a lot of churches, many of the churches that we have here. We had, outside of our window, these are not stock photos, I'm sorry. These are live photos taken outside of our window or nearby. And so you have some kids that are kneeling down, bowing down, and waiting for the idol cart to pass over them so that they can receive blessings from these idols. That's what they think. And that is the spiritual dynamic and atmosphere of the area we were in Taiwan. Not only that, ancestor shrines. Almost every house had an ancestor shrine where they would worship their ancestors, whether on the first floor, right when you walk in into the living room, or on their upper floor, on the top floor. There's a special room just for ancestor worship. Okay, and so that was the dynamic that we were facing. And we knew that God wanted us to be a light. God had called us to be a light in that spiritual darkness. It was really all about lordship, because there were a lot of struggles about whether we should go. You know, we had a family, we had 3 kids, and we had a lot of other things. And we had to let that go to be with God. Because one time David Hearn, our former president of the CMA, came and spoke to us, and he said this verse. He said, not a verse, statement, whenever, whatever, wherever. My answer in advance is yes. And that spoke to both Elaine and I. And that's how we kind of live our lives, not just for missionaries or not just a moment in time, but every day as we wake up. whenever, whatever, wherever, Lord? My answer in advance is yes. And so, going back to the Isaiah passage, scholars are not sure who is being sent in this passage, really. Some people think it's Isaiah. Some people think it's a messianic servant. It really doesn't matter. But for us, regardless, we can be sure that as Christians, we also have our part in being called and sent by God. And so as you reflect and think as we share today, what is God impressing upon your heart? Who has God called you to share the gospel with? A neighbor, a friend, a colleague, or even a people group?
Isaiah also continues and says, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. So binding up means to encourage those who are destroyed in spirit, and to proclaim it means for us to point people to Christ. Now, many people often wonder, why are there so many gods? Why do people worship so many gods in Taiwan, in places where it's polytheistic? And one of the reasons is out of fear. They think, if I don't worship this God, maybe they'll come back and get me. Maybe they'll do something to me. And so they're busy worshiping so many gods because they're afraid. If I missed one, maybe I'll have the unfortunate circumstance of this God after me. Another is because they want peace. They want blessing. And this is the way that they get it in their spiritual realm. They worship this God, and they offer some money, incense, a puppet show, you know, all these things for these gods in order to get these blessings. But our God is so different. We don't worship him because we are afraid he's out to get us. We worship him because we know he loves us. We know that he is for us. And we don't need to worry about any of the other gods because he is supreme over all. So when we went to Taiwan, to a new place, we went from Baozong to Jiayi this term. In Jiayi, we were starting a new church plant, and we're starting from zero. So we didn't know anybody, and we didn't know how to do this church plant. So we prayed a lot, and then we decided, we need to get to know some people. So how do we get to know some people? We'll join some classes. So we decided to join, I decided to join a guzheng class, which is a Chinese zither. And, while in Taiwan, learn a Taiwanese instrument, right? And during this class time, I got to know, her name is Judge. Judge is in the middle top picture. I got to know her. And I found out that she was a teacher at a local elementary school. She's a music teacher. And I asked her, does your school need any help, any kind of volunteers, maybe to teach English or something? And she said, oh, yes, our school really needs volunteers. Do you think you could tell stories to the kids in the morning? And I said, oh, yeah, I could do that. You know, I could tell stories in the morning. So she introduced me to Grace. Grace is on the right, and she was a first grade teacher when I met her. And so she said, oh, yeah, come and tell stories. But our kids don't know a lot of English. So, you know, I tell the story and then maybe insert mostly in Chinese and maybe insert one or two English words. But, you know, after a while, I was always teaching in Grace's class once a week. After a while, we got to know her, and then she came up to me and said, you know, Elaine, I feel that sometimes my students are really naughty. They don't listen, and they just, you know, I wish they would behave better. Like, what can I do? And, you know, and I said, well, you can pray to Jesus. You can pray to Jesus for your students. Even though she wasn't a Christian, she could pray because God hears our prayers, even those who do not profess Jesus as Lord. So she prayed, and after a few months, she came back and she said, "You know what? Those prayers worked. My students are starting to listen. They're starting to behave. You know, Jesus answered those prayers." And I said, oh, that's great. And she says, how can I thank him? How can I thank him? Because in their mindset, they're thinking like their other gods. Maybe I can go to their temple, offer money, offer incense to worship. And I said, you know, Jesus does not want your money or your incense. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. And so you can give thanks to him in prayer, and you can sing songs of worship to him. She said, "Oh, I don't know any songs of worship. Can I come over to your place and learn praise songs?" I said, "Yes, come and learn praise songs." Now, she's still not a believer, but she came and we sang praise songs to Jesus. And she started to get tears in her eyes. And she said, "I don't know why. I'm not sad. Why do I have tears in my eyes? You know, and singing praise songs to God." And I said, "You know, it is God calling out to you." Now, I don't know if she's a Christian right now. We've been away for a bit. But God is working in her heart in amazing ways. And God continues to work around us in our community where we live. We have a neighbor. And even before we went there, you know, God is always at work. We just kind of join him, what he's already doing. And our neighbor, her name is Golden Orchid. We'll call it Golden Orchid. Golden Orchid. It was a hairdresser. And when she was not living in Jai, but she was living in Kaohsiung before, she had a vision. Now, Golden Orchid is a devout Buddhist. She teaches Buddhism classes. So she's not like a, you know, nominal Buddhist. She's devout. So one day, she said Jesus appeared to her. And we said, "Hey, how did you know it was Jesus?" And she said, "Oh, I just knew he was Jesus." I thought, "Oh, wow, you know, God is speaking to her and working in her." Then she moves to Jai, where we live. And in Jai, you know, before we moved in next door, before we even met her or seen her, she had a vision of Pastor Albert. It's like, oh, that's interesting. God was speaking to her. And you have to know that our church is in our living room. And on Sunday morning, it can get a little bit loud. And so we were a little bit concerned, oh, is she going to be upset? You know, she's Buddhist, and, you know, is she going to be upset at us for, you know, being kind of loud on Sunday morning? But she wasn't. You know, God had already prepared her heart to kind of receive us. And one time she was cutting my son's hair, and she was saying to him, "You know, I'm so glad that you are here. I'm so glad that you're here in our community. You bring blessing to our community." And that is just all Jesus working in advance in her heart. And so a lot of what we do is praying, "God, you know, where are you at work? We want to join you where you're at work." Our role is to proclaim and encourage people towards Christ. The results are not in our hands at all. You know, Golden Orchid is still not a Christian, but maybe one day she will be. Sometimes we are called to comfort those who mourn. And, you know, sometimes it is with very tragic results.
I want to share a story of Warren, somebody that we met in our former station in Baozong. He had a failed marriage early on, and it was very hurt. And the one way that he thought of filling up the emptiness in his heart was to fill it with alcohol. And so he was constantly drinking. He had a good job, but because of drinking on the job, he was fired from that job. And you could see in his living room, there were often cases of cheap cooking wine, you know, rice wine, because that was the cheapest thing that he could find to drink. Eventually, he drank himself into a coma. And because this was three times he went into the hospital, the third time he was in a coma, and because he also had diabetes, his hands and his feet were all black, you know, necrotic in that sense. They were able to save his hands, but not his feet. So the doctor had to cut his feet off. Now, it's a sad story, but during the hospital visit, as you can see here, I was praying, reading the Psalms to him, actually. God gave him a vision. And in that vision, he saw a cross in his living room. Now, his wife, his current wife, had already come to Christ and was coming to church. So he saw that cross, and he thought, okay, God is calling me to submit to him. And that's what he did. So when he came out of the hospital, he got better. He came out of the hospital, he came to church, and he started attending, and he started learning. And eventually got baptized. He put a cross in his living room, and he got rid of all of the idols in his house. And this is a marvelous story of God working in people's lives. Now, when we talk about sometimes the result isn't up to us, we have highs and lows, peaks and valleys in our lives and in our ministries. And so for this particular person, Warren, what ended up happening was that this joyful period didn't last. Okay, he, with his current wife, got into disputes and conflicts, and then he ended up leaving the church and just moving away to a different place. And to this point, I don't know exactly where he is. And so it's yes, it was a joyful experience, but sadness of seeing him just kind of walking away from Christ now. A person's life is really not in our hands, and we can only point them to God and walk with them on this life's journey. And this passage we talked about talks about comfort. We are to comfort them and to proclaim Christ to them. But the result is in God's hands, not ours. But just as this passage talked about, comfort those who mourn, right? Does that give you, does it remind you of another passage perhaps in the New Testament? Yeah? Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, to comfort those who are those who mourn will be comforted, and so too in the same way that this passage is only temporary, but Jesus' words were eternal, and so too God gives us a glimpse of a hope and His transforming work in people's lives. And so the first point that we talked about was the calling. The second point we talked about was the commission. That's our part, what God has commissioned us to do. The third point is the crown, transformation and hope, and that's God's part in what He does.
So Isaiah continues on to say, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. So this crown of beauty is just instead of ashes, is just such a beautiful picture of a reversal of fortune. Something that was so sad and so devastating becoming a crown of beauty. The Taiwanese are always trying to reverse their fortunes through, you know, good luck charms or fortune tellers, even changing their name. If it's a bad luck name, maybe we need to change our name. So these are only short term, and we believe only God can give us that eternal blessing. I want to tell you about Mei Yu. She was one of our friends when we were in Baozong. And she, we got to know her. She was very busy working all the time. We got to know her one day. She came over and slowly got to know her more and more. And then one day she says to me, oh, you know what? I'm pregnant. But, you know, I don't want this baby because I have to work. I don't have time to take care of this baby, and there's nobody around me who can help me. Her parents were not around, and her relatives weren't around, and she just felt very alone. And, you know, we prayed with her, and we prayed, and we said, oh, you know, this life is God's. Like, God has given you this gift, and if you need help in taking care of this child, we will help you. whatever you need. Because the Chinese have a 坐月子, which is the month. They sit the month after birth. So we said, oh, we can help you do that month. If you need help with childcare afterwards, we can help you with that. Please reconsider. Pray about this. So we prayed, and she struggled. But in the end, she decided to keep this child. And she kept her, and it was beautiful because she this little girl brought so much joy and comfort to her. Mayu was just, she said, you know, I'm so glad that she is in my life. Even though it was hard in the beginning, but she became a joy, like a crown. Instead of this, the ashes she thought, she became a crown of beauty. I want to tell you another story about Jane. She is in Jai Alliance. And when she came, her daughter brought her. Her daughter is a Christian. She is a devout Buddhist and Iguandao. Iguandao is kind of a mixture of Buddhism and Christianity and some other religions kind of mixed together. They worship all these other gods. And so she came, and one of the times that I went to visit her, you know, she would say, oh, we worship predominantly the creator god. And that's great. You know, they had a different name for the creator god. And I said, oh, that's great. Tell me about your creator god. And she said, oh, we don't know very much about this creator god. There's not much written. And I said, you know what? We know creator god. We have an entire book about this god. Would you like to learn about him? And she said, yes. She said, yes, I would like to learn about him. And so she came to Bible study, and she had such a desire to learn the Bible, to learn God's word, to know this creator God. And she came, like, we had Bible study 3 times a week with her. She was so hungry for the word of God. And she came, and, you know, gradually, she was very, you know, gradually, still would say, you know, I'm Iguandao for a long time, but she would come to Bible study. She would come to, you know, Sunday service. She would just want to know him. And then one day she discovered, wow, this creator God bears our burdens. He takes our weaknesses. Just as Pastor Vincent was saying, you know, this is a God who takes up our weaknesses and makes them strength. She said her other gods, she would have to hide her weaknesses, because they were vengeful gods. They were not nice. They were not loving. And she would have to hide almost. And she was like, she felt like there was nothing she could rely on. But then coming to know our God, the one true God who loves her and says, you know, he daily bears our burdens. She just loved that. And she became a Christian right before we came back to Toronto. She got baptized in the beginning of June. It was so beautiful to see, not just her, but her son as well. So she came out of this darkness and became an oak of righteousness for the display of God's splendor.
As you think about Isaiah, Isaiah actually lived 700 years before Jesus. And yet this passage points to the future reality that is not just a temporary reprieve from hardship. And the only way that we can get from our current state of brokenness to that place where there is no pain, no sorrow, and only a marvelous state of awe and wonder, from this wrong side of heaven to the right side of heaven, the only way that we can do that is our final C, which is the cross of Christ. For in Luke chapter 4, if you remember in the New Testament, Gospel of Luke, Jesus enters the synagogue and he picks up a scroll. It's actually the Isaiah scroll that he picks up. He unravels it and he starts reading from a particular point. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news." And he keeps reading. He reads the exact same passage as we're talking about today. And then he stops, and then he says this, Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And if you will, Jesus himself is the fulfillment of this good news, because he is the good news. For it says in Galatians 5:1, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." And in John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So thank you for allowing us to share about God's work in Taiwan. But I do want to acknowledge some of the struggles that we've had here all over the world, 2-year pandemic, but move forward from there, right? We learn from the past, but we move forward to the future. And so for everybody here and online, coming out of a 2-year pandemic, what does it look like for you to proclaim Jesus and bring the good news to those around you in your contexts? Some of you have moved and stayed at home and are working from home from now on. Some of you are have changed jobs. Some of you have moved. Some of you have a new mixture, a new circle of influence of friends and colleagues and stuff. So what does it look like for you to reach the nations for Christ here? Let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much that, Pastor Vincent said, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchanging God in the midst of our ever-changing times. And for that, we have assurance that you will lead us forward, and that you have the power, the strength, the authority, the foresight for all that will come before us. So we thank you and pray that you enable us to see your heart for the nations, your heart for the people around us. And because you love them, we love them too. And because you desire for them to come back into a right relationship with you, we do as well. And so we thank you. Empower us, enable us, and allow us to be a blessing wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.